The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, today the conclave starts to elect a new pope. After a mass this morning, 133 cardinals from around the world will lock themselves into the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican with technology blocking devices so that the outside world cannot interfere. But how will the vote go? What do the 1.4 billion Catholics want in a new pope? And when do you think we might see white smoke? Well, Henry McKean is at St. Peter's Square and he joins us now. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning.
So, tell me, what is actually happening? I mean, are there many people there just to observe the spectacle?
Oh, there's a real buzz in the air this morning, Pat, across the Vatican. And basically, there was the mass you mentioned there in St. Peter's Basilica, and Cardinal Giovanni, he's called for unity in the church. So what does that read? Could it be a disagreement? And the cardinals are just voting once today, so we could expect black smoke, meaning there won't be a pope elected today, this afternoon. We expect that at about 6 p.m. Irish time. But you don't know. You really, really don't know. And then from tomorrow, we will have four votes a day, two in the morning and two in the afternoon. And if there isn't a two-thirds majority, they keep going. And we need to look out for these black and white smoke. And these days they burn chemicals. It used to be wet or dry straw. If it is a pope, if they have come up with a pope, we could expect as early as tomorrow at 9:30 or 6 p.m. Tomorrow, and that will continue. There'll be smoke in the morning and smoke in the afternoon. But knowing the cardinals, all of that could change. It's really, really fascinating.
Now, if they don't reach agreement, how many votes do they have before they say, we must do something different?
Well, what they do is, Pat, they actually have to vote up to 34 times, and then they stop and they take a day of reflection and prayer. All of us really should do that. We should just take some time out and some reflection, and then they start the process again and they start to vote again. So that could happen. It could go on for up to 3 years, but we do expect it to be all finished by Friday.
Now interesting that we have an Irish interest here. We've got Dublin-born Cardinal Kevin Farrell, who's actually managing the conclave. Is he anywhere in the running?
Well, it's so hard to predict. A lot of people say he is in the running, including this Irish husband and wife.
Hi, my name is Irene Hurley. I'm from Dublin, but living in Kildare with my husband.
Hello, my name is John Hurley, and I'm living in Kildare, from Kildare, a proud Lily White.
You're a proud Lily White. We've got the bells going off in the background.
Absolutely.
Here in St. Peter's Square. History is being made. Are you excited? What do you expect from this conclave?
I'm not sure what to expect. I do believe that it will be a big surprise for us all. I think it'll be a step forward because Francis was a very humble, forward-thinking pope. And I know that there are some things that won't be changed immediately, but he had started a revolution, I think, in the Catholic Church, and I hope the new pope will carry it on.
I'm kind of half hoping that our cardinal in charge at the moment, who is from Dublin originally, is it Cardinal Farrell, I think his name, I'm hoping that maybe he has a chance, maybe not, but wouldn't it be nice to have an Irish pope?
So you would love to see an Irish pope, and there's a small chance, you know, it could happen?
It could happen. It was a surprise the last day, and it could be a surprise again.
And how does it feel to be a part of this history? Behind us, the cardinals are voting.
Yes, it's amazing. It's our first time in Rome. We just looked at St. Paul's Cathedral. It's an amazing building, and really, it's history. So really, it is history. We've looked at all the popes that have been buried in there. We think we're glad to be here.
And does it surprise you? Anyone can be pope. If you're a single man, you can, be pope. You don't necessarily have to be a cardinal.
I let my wife talk on that.
I think that it's wonderful. I think that it should be a humble man's job, because Jesus himself was a very humble man. Peter was a very humble man. So why not let's continue the tradition?
Do you think the next pope will deal with issues around child abuse, around female bishops and female priests, and also around the gay community?
I hope so. Francis started that. That was one move that he definitely did start in his papacy. And I sincerely hope that all those issues will be dealt with and will be brought forward. I can't see that there will be any huge changes. We all know it takes generations to change anything in the Catholic Church. But slowly, surely, we are changing for the better. And I would be delighted to see women priests as a start to that.
Yes, I would love to see women priests. There's only so far he can go on some issues, and we understand that. We cannot just be a la carte Catholics.
Husband and wife Irene and John Hurley from Kildare at the conclave, well, outside, where it's going to happen in the Sistine Chapel. Now, Henry, over the weekend, Donald Trump put out an AI image of himself on social media dressed as a pope. What is the feeling among the cardinals, do you think, about that?
Well, they've been quite open about it. They don't like it. US Cardinal Timothy Dolan described it using an Italian phrase, a brutta figura, meaning embarrassing and making a fool of yourself. I got to meet an Irish-American priest and the editor-at-large of America magazine and best-selling author.
I'm Father Jim Martin. I'm a Jesuit priest, half-Irish, from the United States.
For you, having all those years of Francis, also a Jesuit, what's his greatest legacy?
That's a great question. I think his greatest legacy is to remind people of God's mercy and also to reach out to people on the margins like Jesus did. He really made people feel included. And I think that line of tutti, 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 everyone, everyone, everyone is really sums up his papacy.
When we take Donald Trump in the last few days, putting up an AI image of himself as Pope, being, you know, an Irish-American, how did you feel by that image?
Yeah, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he meant it in a lighthearted way, but I found it pretty offensive and kind of ridiculous. And I thought, what's next? You know, having a picture of him as Jesus? I just questioned the judgment of someone who would put something like that up. And I also wonder, you know, imagine the reaction or the response of President Biden or President Obama had put something like that up. I think people would have been going out of their minds.
Who will the next pope be? I know you don't know the answer, but I've got to ask you that question.
Well, there are a couple front runners, but truly, this is, I think, a wide open conclave. And we really don't know who's going to step out on that balcony until the guy says, Habemus Papam. I mean, I think there are a couple ones that I would not be surprised at, but I think it will be a surprise in general.
So you've an open mind.
Oh, totally. And whoever it is, we support him and we pray for him. And also, I think it's important to say that whoever it is, you know, his background is important, but really what we call the grace of office changes people. They, you know, you might be a cardinal or an archbishop in one locale or a Vatican office, but once you're pope, you have a different role, and I think that changes people.
And that's Father Jim Martin, who's editor-at-large of America magazine. It's interesting, Henry, when you're talking about how offensive Trump was. Imagine if Trump put out himself as the Prophet Muhammad or something, which he probably wouldn't do. But imagine the uproar in the Islamic world there would be. And yet there's
absolutely
no great uproar, I suppose, no audible uproar from the Catholic world about what Donald Trump has done, including from his vice president, J.D. Vance, who professes himself to be a deep Catholic. Anyway, Henry, you're an insider. Who's the next pope going to be?
Wow, Pat. And like that, if you did an AI image of yourself, Pat, as Pope, people would not be happy, or if there was one of me. And to try and answer your question, I can't predict it. I think it will be an outsider. I think it will be like the way Pope Francis was. But the same saying that, Pope Francis has appointed most of these cardinals. So it could be someone like him. It could be perhaps Cardinal Pete Zabala, an Italian based in Jerusalem. He offered himself in exchange for October 7th hostages. He could definitely become Pope. And this name keeps coming up. It's a Filipino cardinal. It's Cardinal Tagle. And remember, the Philippines, 100 million people, 80% of them are Catholic. And we know that Francis wanted to break into, I suppose, Asia and bring in Asian cardinals. So it's all changed. And looking at the Mass this morning, so many new faces from all parts of the world, from different African countries. Or it could be the number two. It could be Cardinal Petro Parolin, which was basically Pope Francis's number two. It really is all to play for. We just simply don't know. Will we be going back in time? Will we be going forward in time? Tagle, you know, has a lighter stance on the LGBT community. Also, he's into social justice. I put that question to full-time Vatican correspondent Paddy Agnew.
Are we going to be the same? Is it going to be Francis? Or are we going to go perhaps back a little bit? What do you expect?
Yeah, the entire conclave, as far as I can see, rotates around that question you've just asked. I would say this, the 80% of the cardinals who will vote, 80% of them have been picked by Francis. They're all people who share, are on the same page theologically, spiritually, politically, as Francis was. The logic of the mathematics would say that the Pope will be a Pope in the image of Francis. There's a major nostalgia among some of the older cardinals for a sort of steady up lads. We've had very momentous pontificate. Francis introduced all sorts of changes from the pastoral point of view. Let's just slow things up and pick a safe pair of hands, particularly if you think of the geopolitical moment we're in. It's very difficult, and therefore a safe pair of hands would make a lot of sense. But if you want my call on it, they won't pick a safe pair of hands. There are too many of them have gone down the Francis route, and it will be somebody who will want to keep stirring things up.
So it's going to be someone we don't predict. The bookies, you think, perhaps have got it wrong. Is it going to be one of the favourites or someone that surprises us?
Well, Tagli would be a stirred up figure, although there'd be a lot of reservations about him within the Vatican.
And he'd be the first Asian
yes,
pope.
He would, yeah. I think that the chance that it could be an Asian pope is very strong. I definitely think it could well be somebody on the same page as Francis, but that doesn't mean we know him.
How many days do you think it's going to take?
If it followed recent history, it would be over by Friday night. I'm not sure it will be. I think this one might go on a bit longer because there are too many issues there. There's also the fact that a lot of these cardinals, more than 15 of them, have never been to a conclave before. 15 of them are absolutely brand new cardinals, but for their countries. But they don't know one another. They're getting to know one another. It may take them a bit longer to work out what direction they want to go.
That's Paddy Agnew there. Now, I understand this conclave is the first real social media conclave with more attention than ever.
Oh, it's absolutely massive. We look at Pope Francis's funeral and all the social media that went on around it and the selfies and TikTok. Some of the cardinals actually have TikTok accounts set up by young people with pop music. So it's all change. I put a question to Matteo Brunei. He's the director of the Holy See Press Office, basically the spokesperson for all of them, including the Pope that's just passed and the new Pope for the next 6 months. And I put this question to him in a packed, loud, noisy, because there's hundreds of journalists here, press conference.
Matteo, thank you so much. Andrew McKean from Irish radio station News Talk. We're here in a room just full of international journalists. How are the cardinals dealing with the huge amount of media attention? Obviously, this would happen at every conclave, but is there more now because of the recent Hollywood film?
I only have my personal memories of doing that, and I must say that the interest has been pretty much stable over at least the last two conclaves. The interest of the press, and that is one of the elements that some of the cardinals, one of the cardinals in particular, several also mentioned in these days, as a sign of interest of how the church and its message and the gospel are still relevant in today's world. And to take the presence of so many journalists and, of course, of the people who listen to you or watch what you feed, what you provide to them, with a sense of responsibility.
So, Henry, how true to life is the Conclave movie?
Well, it's actually quite realistic, speaking to experts. And a lot of international media have come here, especially because of this hit movie, Conclave, starring Ralph Fiennes. It's made over 120 million euro at the box office. It won Best Film at the BAFTAs, beating everyone else. And it also won Best Adapted Screenplay at the Oscars. And I met that Oscar-winning screenwriter, Peter Strawn. And it really is fiction meets reality. He says it's been enormous.
You know, obviously we got Rafe first and then sort of built the cast around that, but we needed, because all of those cardinals had to have a distinctive personality that the audience could get very quickly, and we just, you know, we got some incredible actors. You know, Stanley's amazing, Don's amazing, Lucien, Carlos was fantastic, Benita, you know, across the first film. And then Isabella, you know, who had to make Sister Agnes work with so few lines. You know, I mean, she works mainly with silence. So, yeah, I mean, it was an incredible cast.
It's my favourite film of the awards season.
Thank you.
It really is something quite special, and the hairs at the back of my neck, even though I'm bald, did rise. How did you manage to create something so magic?
The magic, I mean, you know, we inherited everything from the books, really. The book was a wonderful mix of the entertaining and thoughtful. And then we looked out with that cast and we looked out with that director. So we were very lucky.
And you must be very proud.
I'm very proud, yeah.
But you've come along and created something extremely special. How did you do it? Was it Rome? Was it the actors? Was it the writing? Was it the little bits of humour when the Nespresso machine makes a noise?
Well, you know, a lot of the humour that we put in was kind of just for us. And I was slightly amazed when I saw the large audience and felt them start to laugh and really enjoy it. We always thought they were just small in-jokes. But, yeah, people enjoyed it. People were entertained by it, which is wonderful.
And that's Peter Strawn, the screenwriter of Conclave. And Henry McKean is conclaving at the Conclave for the rest of the week, for as long as it takes. Henry, thank you very much for joining us from Vatican City.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.